Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, beloved ones. This is Bishop Dr. Lawrence Mwamba here in Dallas, Texas, with my wife, Karina Mwamba, broadcasting live here on Blog Talk Radio from Dallas, Texas, the United States of America. We are once again here to share the Word of God with you, beloved ones, wherever you are. It's a great privilege for us to share the Word of God. You see, God has called us into the ministry of evangelizing the world. And, you know, it's not only a mandate for us as Mwamba World Outreach or the Word of Life Bible Church Fellowship International, but it's a mandate given to each and every Christian around the world. Every believer must multiply of himself. They need to go out, reach to the lost, and bring them into the kingdom of God. This is what I began to do from the day I was born again. I was born again a long time ago, guys. I was born again in 1977. On 7th of August, when a school friend of mine came and witnessed to me about the love of God. It was a simple witness. All she said was, you know what? Whenever I have a problem, I just pray and God answers my prayers. So I don't have any more worries. That shocked me to find somebody who had no worries, that whenever they had any problem, they would pray and God would answer. That's something I needed because I was at a crucial time in my life where I was going through a turbulence. I was advanced at my company. I was training to become the manager of a very big department, construction. I used to build substations. 11 kV, 11,000 volts, stepped down to 3.3 kV. 220,000 volts, stepped down to 66 kV. We had 220,000 volts transmission lines, 66 kV, 66,000 volts transmission lines around the copper belt. Because our company, which I worked for, supplied the power to the mining company in Zambia, the power division. And so, you know, I was up and running and everything was on my side. I could see the blessings of God, which I didn't know then, you know, because I used to go to the Catholic Church where my mother took us to, Catholic Church. And so I used to be an altar boy and I followed the priest. We prayed in Latin. Academic letificati guventute meam, quare mere priestis incetodum afrequit mendicus. But you know what? Even today, I don't know the meaning of those words, but that's Latin. I prayed in Latin. We memorized the Latin language, and I followed the priest as he went around the altar and did the service. And I was there in the dressing room. We dressed the priest. We dressed ourselves. The priest put on the garments, and we helped put the garments. We wore the red tops and white skates. And it was a fantastic time. We had the incense. We had the Holy Communion. We had the walk of the cross when we go to Easter. So my mother was on me, wanting me to be in church all the time. And I remember very well in Zambia at that time when I was young, my mother would give me a penny. You know, we used to use British pounds and pennies before Zambia got its independence in 1964. So a penny is like, I think, to the equivalence, it would be like 5 cents or so, you know. So I'll take that penny and put it in the offering plate in the church. She made sure all of us had a penny. And that's how I grew up, Catholic. My mother was Catholic. My father was Catholic. My father was not so much in the church as my mother was. My mother was always there in the church. And so we were there with her. We'll sing Catholic songs. She'll sing Catholic songs to us. And so we had that dynamic influence. But you see, although I saved in the mass, I did not know God. You see, just going to church cannot change you. It's knowing the God of the church that will change you. It's you, for you to know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, that will change your life. I did not know that. In fact, up to today, my mother is in the Catholic Church. I witnessed to her. When I went to seminary and I went to Bible school in Nigeria and I was in seminary in Massachusetts, I told her, Mom, you need to know Jesus. She prayed after me. I believe God that she's born again. But the point I'm saying is that all the time I spent in the Catholic Church, I did not know God. You understand? a Catholic man bought us instruments to play music in the church. I was a musician. I was a drummer. My friend Andrew was a bassist. Then we had another guy by the name of, I think it's Chris. I can't remember exactly. And Kasonde. Chris was a lyricist. Kasonde was a rhythmist. So she bought us electric guitars. She bought us drums from Gazons. This Gazons was a piano house where they had all these big Yamaha amplifiers, Yamaha sound speakers, huge, expensive stuff. She raised money from the Vatican. I don't know if it was the Vatican or whatever Catholic thing. They gave her gifts. I think it was Catholic contributors. They bought us brand new equipment. We started playing music. But instead of playing in the church, we started going to the clubs, you see. We started playing in nightclubs. We made ourselves a band. So even though I went to the Catholic church, I did not know God. That's my point. See, you can go to church for a long time and still you would not know God. So I'm saying? We went to church. I was an altar boy. I served in the mass. I was with the priest. We served in the mass together with the priest, but I did not know God. Finally, on 7th August, when that lady, a former schoolmate of mine, Catherine Namonje, ministered to me about the love of God, then I came to know God. I tell you, that day was amazing because when she did not even talk so much about Jesus. She just talked about the love of God. You know, after she talked like that, I said to her, I said, Catherine, I think I'll start going to church. She said, really? I said, yes. She said, okay, so you feel like you want to go to church? We have a service going on at the nurse's fellowship because she was a nurse. If you would like to go, that was a Saturday, 7th August 1977, it was a Saturday. In the afternoon, around 5 p.m. She said, you know, I'll come and pick you up so I can take you with me so we can go to this fellowship. I said, hey, great. Kathleen, you better do that. So I said, I started escorting this lady to her home. As I escorted her, I left her, then I was coming back to my place. The sun was setting and it was looking like golden light shining. I mean, the Spirit of the Lord just gripped me. As I walked back, there were three of us single guys, bachelors, living in this house. Of a three-bedroom that we shared, three bachelors in one house. We used the dining as the common area. We used the living area as the common area. But you know what? Upon all that, we came to realize that God was with us. We came to realize that God was moving in my life. You know, and so when I called home, as I was entering into my house, I saw these flowers. We had always had these flowers by the steps of the door. But for the first time, I saw these flowers. I said to myself, God, these flowers are so beautiful. And I said to myself, God made these beautiful flowers. So I entered the house. That day was so different. I went into my room. I had a dressing table, my bed. I knelt by the dressing table and I said, let me write a letter to God. I'm going to write a letter to God. So I started writing a letter to God. I said, oh God, as Kathleen was saying, if you're really there and you really care for us, forgive me of all my wrongs, of all the wrongs I've done. Forgive me, Lord, I pray. Just as I was writing, you know, on this pad, suddenly I was hit like by lightning. Bang! And I fell to the floor. When I fell to the floor, I felt like a hand coming to me. I took that shit off my eyes. And I heard a heavy swish go. As this shit was put off my eyes. And I felt an opening inside me. And the weight was gone. And I was totally confused. When I opened my eyes, guess what? I saw these pictures of musicians. Because I was a musician, you see. We had, at that time, we had Jimi Hendrix, we had the Beatles, Santana, all these heavy rock musicians. We had Peanuts, and all these Peanuts, Jimmy Cliff in those days, Elvis Presley and all these guys. So I started pulling these posters down. To make the long story short, Catherine came. I explained to her what happened. I was afraid of her when she came. She sat beside me on my bed. She was like an in-law to me. Catherine, what happened? She said, hey, Larry, what happened to you is God visited you. Now you are a child of God. She said, bring your hand. I took my hand. We joined hands. And she said, pray after me. Which she led me into your prayer. She said, oh, Lord, oh, Lord. I thank you. I thank you that you love me. That you love me and that you sent your son. The Lord Jesus Christ, you came and died for me at the cross. I receive you, Jesus, today as my Lord and Savior. I followed that prayer, and that's when I said amen. Everything was locked in my spirit, and I felt that freedom. I was ready dressed to go to this fellowship. We went to the fellowship at the Nurses Fellowship at the Kiwi Hospital. I remember a brother was leading in music, and Catherine began to introduce me to all these guys. I saw me, this is Larry. You know, he's a brother in the Lord. I just got born again, mind you. And I hear all these people saying, hey, Brother Larry. Some say, hey, brother, hey. You girls saying, yeah, Brother Larry. I said, how come I'm your brother, man? I'm not your brother. You know, I was thinking. So she said, no, if you're born again, every lady in the church is your sister. A man is your brother. Those who are elderly are like uncles and aunties. I said, okay. I said it to them. But the point I'm saying is, until Catherine birth, I never knew God. And so the local church is an important place for people to have that recreation of their spirit. That's why we are working in Plano, opening up this fellowship, so that many people can come to know the truth. It's in the local church that people are grounded in the word. It's in the local church that people are healed. It's in the local church that people can find their salvation through the preaching of the message of the kingdom of God. Now, it's not so much that you'll be born again in the church. You can be born again in the house. You can be born again on the street. You can be born again anywhere. But the main point is, when you are in a church, you are in a place where the word of God is preached. And so the opportunities of you finding God or God finding you are 100% on the high caliber scale. Amen. So I'd like us to look through the word of God here in the book of Corinthians and chapter 2 Corinthians chapter number 3, reading from verse number 1. We're going to look at what the Apostle Paul was saying to the believers of the church that they had just begun and started in Corinth. Listen to the word of the Lord. So, you know, 2 Corinthians chapter number 3, reading from verse number 1. Do we begin again to commend ourselves, or need we, as some others, epistles of commendations to you, or letters of commendation from you? You are our epistle written in our hearts, known and read of all men. For as much as you are manifestly declared to be the epistle of Christ, ministered by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not in tables of stone, but in fleshly tables of the heart. Now, what is Paul saying here? See, you see one thing here. Paul is writing to the Corinthians to clarify their position in God. He's saying here in verse 1, he says, do we begin again to commend ourselves? What Paul is saying, do we begin to start telling you of who we are? You see, commending ourselves means telling the people, say, look, I'm the Apostle Paul sent by God. I'm an apostle. Peter standing maybe and saying, I'm Peter. In fact, by that time when the Apostle Paul was ministering, Peter was not in the picture here. Peter came up sometime later when he came up in Jerusalem. But Apollos came, preached the message. But Paul, what Paul is saying, do we start to say, hey, look, I'm called by God, I'm an apostle, telling the people. He says, do we need to commend ourselves? Or need we, as some others, epistles of commendation to you? Or letters of commendation from you? He says, do we need you to recommend us and say, hey, I know Reverend Mamba is a real bishop. He's a bishop called by God. He has the anointing of the Lord. He is a man of God. That's what Paul is saying. He said, do we need letters of commendation from you to say, hey,
These are men of God. These are apostles of God. These preach the truth.
Now listen to what the Apostle Paul says. So as much as you are manifestly declared to be the epistle of Christ, ministered by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God. Now, Paul turns the whole table around. He said, listen to me, you guys. Listen to what Paul says. He says that for as much as you are manifestly declared to be the epistle of Christ, he turns the thing around and says, you, the members of the church, are the epistle of Christ. What's an epistle? An epistle, when we're talking on theological terms, an epistle means simply a letter. When we say the epistle of Paul to the Galatians, we mean the letter that Paul wrote to the Galatians. When we say the epistle of Paul to the Philippians, we mean that the letter that Paul wrote to the Philippians. So what is Paul saying here? Paul is saying, he said, you are our epistle, declared to be the epistle of Christ, ministered by us. He said, you are our epistle, or you are our letter. You, the members of the church, they are in Plano, Texas. You are our epistle. What does that mean? You are our letter. He says to them, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God. He's saying, you, the Corinthians, you are our letter, and you're not written with ink, but you are written with the Spirit of the living God. Why did Paul say that? Not in tables of stone, but in fleshy tables of the heart. Why did Paul say that? All Paul is saying is, in a simplified form, is that you are our letter, written by the Holy Ghost, through us, by us. What he means is that you, Corinthians, you came to know Christ through our ministry. We preached to you the word of truth. You were born again. Then you came to know the Lord. And when you knew the Lord, you became children of the living God of Israel. Amen. Christ became your Lord and Master. He says, because we preach the message to you, you are our epistle, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God. Hallelujah. All he's saying is, you, the members at Corinth, are the proof that we are apostles. You see, an apostle must have fruit. A pastor must have fruit. An evangelist must have fruit. A teacher must have fruit. If there are no people you're teaching to, and there is no fruit of people standing from your teaching, then you're not a teacher. If people are not being changed by your teaching, people are not growing from what you teach, then you're not gifted as a teacher. If you go out to preach out there, and you only save one person out of the masses, you know, of the people in the city, and you say, hey, I'm an evangelist, you're not an evangelist. You are a witness. You can witness, but you're not an evangelist. When you talk of an evangelist, we're talking of the caliber of Reinhard Bonnke, where you have thousands and millions come into a stadium. I remember when we were in Lagos, in Nigeria, with Archbishop Idahosa. I was there in Lagos. We built up this big platform, and we were at the Kulima, and we were at the Tafawa Balewa Park, right in the center of Lagos in Nigeria. Advertise the crusade between Archbishop Idahosa and Reinhard Bonnke. Guess what? 1.5 million people came to the crusades. I remember that night I was the senior school prefect. I was the one in charge organizing the ushers, bringing them in. Guess what? There was such offering that those who were counting money, they counted the whole night until the next day. Okay, money from where? Money given. See, when one gives 1 hour, 5 naira, and you've got 10,000 people giving 1 hour, 5 naira, how much money do you have? Tell me. You got almost 20, 50,000 or 100,000 naira coming in. Amen? And so that's the proof that this person is an evangelist. Thousands coming. When we were with the Archbishop, we went to Enugu in Nigeria. Thousands attended. We went to Calabar. Thousands attended. We went to Port Harcourt. Thousands attended. We went to Maiduguri. Maiduguri in Nigeria is a land which is covered with Muslims. It's a dominantly Muslim seeking. But we went there with Archbishop Peter Hossa. We bombarded Maiduguri. We preached the gospel of the kingdom. And thousands came to know the Lord Jesus Christ. This is what Paul is talking about. That you are our epistle, not written with ink, but with the spirit of the living God. As we grow the church, or as you are under the ministry of your pastor, you are the epistle of that pastor. That means the pastor has planted his life in you. The proof of your pastor is you. If somebody says, I'm a pastor of such and such a church, and there is no people, there's no proof that you are a pastor. See, a pastor must have a flock that is shepherding. An evangelist must have souls that is winning the kingdom of God. An apostle must have churches that is planting and opening all over the land as the Lord leads him. A prophet must be prophesying things that come to pass. You see what I'm saying? There must be proof of ministry. So here, the commendation Paul is talking about is mainly the proof of ministry. And he says here that, the spirit of the living God, tables of stone, but in the fleshly tables of the heart. What does he mean by the fleshly tables of the heart? What he means is that the message we preach to you has been engraved in your heart. You see, salvation is of the heart. We change from within to the outward. And so he says in verse 4, and such trust have we through Christ to Godward. Not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything as of ourselves, but our sufficiency is in God. You see, our sufficiency is in God. That means whatever we do, we don't do it by our strength, but it's in God. Listen, look what he says further in verse 6. He says, who also has made us able ministers of the New Testament, not of the letter, but of the Spirit, for the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. You see, God is the one who makes you a minister. Paul says, who also has made us able ministers of the New Testament. You cannot make yourself an able minister of the New Testament. God makes you an able minister. See, when God called me to ministry, I had that panting desire to serve him. But you see, there is a preparation of time that God will have to prepare you and equip you to make you ready to minister to thousands. You see, if you can't commit yourself and be faithful to 5 people, how do you think you'll be faithful to 50 people? If you can't be sufficient enough or able enough to manage 50 people, how are you going to manage 100 people or 200 people? God begins you small. That's why the Bible says, despise not the days of small beginnings. God will first test you with 3 people, 4 people, 5 people in your area. If you can manage 5 people, 10 people, then those people are grounded and they change, then God will increase the number to 20 people. If you can manage and do well with 20 people, then God will increase you to 50 or 60 people. If you are very faithful and you work hard and you are diligent in what you are doing, God will increase you maybe 200 people. You see, the way the world works, you work hard to get a promotion in this way. Play around on your job, forget about promotion. It's the same thing with God. God cannot just come and bam, pick you up and make you the worldwide evangelist when you don't know nothing. When you have not proved yourself to anything, God will first prove you before he can establish you. You understand? And so this is what happened to the Apostle Paul. Apostle Paul was proved. Apostle Paul was very learned. This man had the capacity of, he was an educated doctor of law. You understand? Paul was a doctor of law. Dr. Luke, the one who wrote that gospel according to St. Luke, he was a medical doctor. And then with all the years of learning, he dedicated it to the research of the truth for the kingdom of God. That's why you hear terminologies when he was with the Apostle Paul. He says the man was healed at the gate beautiful and his ankle bones became strong. You see, a layman doesn't talk of ankle bones, but Dr. Luke does. He says ankle bones were made strong. They have discovered that the writings of Paul are the writings of a lawyer.
When you read the book of Romans, they say that the language in the book of Romans is the language of law. You see? See, the Bible is not such a simple book you think you can kick around and say, I'm going to preach it. Hey, I'm going to... Everybody can handle the word of God, but it needs that specialization and anointing from the Lord. We got to handle this word of God with cautiousness. It's not a simple book you can just tremble upon, you know. Can you imagine this book? People have done commentaries. It's taken them all their life. Like the one I'm holding here, Dex. He's from Atlanta, Georgia. I met his own, I think it was his granddaughter with a friend of mine in Stockbridge, Georgia. She introduced me to the granddaughter of Dr. Dex, the one who wrote this Bible and made commentaries. Dex, annotated Bible. His own granddaughter we met in Stockbridge, Georgia. See, I was with a friend of mine, this lady, who had known this woman, and she introduced me to her. It was a blessing for me to see in person a granddaughter of the man who made such a powerful commentary as Dr. Dex. That's the Bible I'm holding right now. What am I saying? God will use you when you dedicate yourself. You see, the proof of your ministry is not just on what you say. The proof of your ministry is in the fruit that comes out of what you say. If you say, you know, you call as a pastor, there must be a church that is running. If you're an evangelist, then you must be like this lady who has thousands coming to her meeting. You know, God will open doors. You see, the way God showed me is you can begin small. You increase by 50. You increase by 100. You increase by 200. Then when God pours his spirit, the thing will just like boom. There'll be like an explosion in the spirit. And guess what? You're going to have thousands coming from everywhere. Because it's not you doing it, it's the Holy Ghost doing it. And in the first, in the beginning of time, there is the push and shove. Push and shove. You want to do your energy, push your energy. But when it comes, when God takes over, the thing just picks up and booms. I remember Larry Lee, I talked about him yesterday. I went to his church in Rockwall, Texas. He had a big church. When you go to the cathedral, the outside of the church was gold, plated glass. I went with a friend of mine, Gloria. We drove all the way there and got into this church. This man had over 8,000 members. And according to his testimony, they only started about 6 of them. He used to be a youth pastor. You see, like I'm talking about God entrusting you with ministry. From being a youth pastor, if you told him, go to Rockwall, start a church, he went to Rockwall, started a church. And guess what? When he started that church, oh my God, within a short time, that church exploded in growth. From the 6 people, they had over 8,000 members. I went to Bob Tito's church here. That's why it breaks my heart to see that church is no more. I went there and drove where I'd been, and I found the church has been bulldozed. There's no church anymore. But Bob Clinton had a huge church, but he fumbled and dropped the ball, and everything went haywire. That's the problem with the walk of in the kingdom. Don't fumble and drop the ball. Be consistent in the call that God has placed upon your life, and as faithful as you will be, God will be faithful to you and begin to multiply you. And before you know it, you'll be ministering to thousands. You and me, we shall be ministering to thousands of people because we have been proven faithful. It only takes a step of faith. That's why the Bible says, despise not the days of small beginnings. Because you begin small, and then you become big. You begin small, then you start to minister to millions of people. Listen, Kenneth Hagin's did it. Kenneth Copeland's did it. Oral Roberts did it. We shall do it. This is Bishop Mamba, signing off from Dallas, Texas, and telling you, God bless you. We'll see you. My wife, Torina, we're signing off here. God bless you, and bye-bye.